It's so easy to feel like a hypocrite almost. Like there's this super spiritual, idealistic part of me, and then there's like that, like the real me, the messy, ugly side of human emotions and human experience. And really, davening is all about synthesizing the two. Like this is really the purpose for Hashem's creation.
Hi, I'm Alex Fletcher.
And I'm Rivki Silver.
And this is Deep, Meaningful Conversations, powered by Town Appliance.
Alex and I wear a lot of hats.
We're both writers.
And speakers.
And so many other things, mothers, wives, friends, and active community members.
We love using our skill sets to bring you the best guests to share their wisdom, perspective, and advice on relevant topics.
And we love schmoozing about the topics that are on our mind, and hopefully yours too. Like one listener said, DMC is like hanging out with friends for coffee and talking about the stuff we're all thinking about.
So whatever you're doing while listening to our podcast, thanks for joining us for a DMC. So grateful to Town Appliance for being our 2023 sponsor of Deep Meaningful Conversations. Town Appliance has been the go-to appliance store since 1979. If you're looking for a new washing machine, fridge, oven, or more, check out the website first, and you'll see the huge range of brands and price points offered. If you're in Cedarhurst, Lakewood, or Baltimore, you can check out their state-of-the-art showrooms. Shipping under $1,000 is free, and a non-minimum free delivery option is available in certain areas. Just enter your zip code on the project page or during checkout on their website to see if you are eligible. And if you're not, Town Appliance charges a $99 flat rate delivery charge. Wondering about installation? We will give you the details later on during the episode. You can find contact information and a link to Town Appliance on our show notes.
Thank you, Labelland, for sponsoring another episode of DMC. We told you last episode about Labelland, and in case you didn't join us, here's your chance to find out about this wonderful company. The first thing you need to know is that Labelland ships next business day. So some of our listeners may have kids going to sleepaway camp second half, and it is not too late to order. Check out labelland.com and place your order today with our special coupon code DMC for all products site-wide until July 26. Labelland labels come in various styles, shapes, sizes, and are dishwasher safe, dryer safe, waterproof, and non-toxic. We love their famous stick and wear labels that are perfect for clothes and stuff. So visit our show notes for the link and happy labeling. Welcome back to another DMC. Well, we hope you missed us. And shout out to all of you who are driving your children to sleepaway camp and subjecting all of the children to a deep, meaningful conversation with Rivki and Alex. Say hi to the kids from us.
That's me. I'm driving. I'm driving right now.
Yes, that is you.
But my daughter made a playlist, so we're not actually listening to the podcast. anyway. We are here to keep you informed and entertained throughout your summer. Summer is here. Oh my gosh. No matter what you're doing or where you're going, we are here for you. So today's episode, we are talking about tefillah, prayer. We want to get real. We want to get practical. We want to get helpful. And we want to get inspired.
Yes. And that is why we have Sarah Blau as our guest for this episode. So Sarah is truly passionate. Like people say, oh, I'm passionate about this XYZ. She is passionate about tefillah.
Very.
And making it real and relevant. Her whole brand is providing inspiration for the Jewish woman, so she's just the perfect guest for DMC. Sarah's a public speaker. She's the author of 29 books, and she's also in the middle of a book about tefillah, so we're really excited to have the opportunity to pick her brain about this very important topic.
Absolutely. I feel like this is a topic that we've talked about a little bit here and there,
yeah.
But we've never actually like talked, we've never really DMC'd about it.
Right, right.
So let's talk about davening. Let's start first by sharing an idea or a tip that we find helpful when it comes to davening in our everyday lives. So Alex, you can go first.
Okay, great. I'll share two. I once was reading something about someone who I'm not going to share her name just in case she doesn't want to go public. But if she's listening, she knows who she is. And she wrote about how when she was going through a challenging time in her life, she admitted that she actually found davening very difficult. And that I found so refreshing to hear that honestly from someone who it's like, oh, do we admit to our friends or to anyone, and this person happens to be a mentor and a Revitin, that like you don't want to daven to Hashem? Like you're going through a hardship and that it's actually hard for you to talk to him. Mm. And I would guess to venture that when we are struggling, davening can be very hard. And just hearing that from her makes me think about whenever I'm going through challenging times that, like, it's okay. Like, it's normal if you're feeling a little bit resistant or don't have the emotional energy, or even on a deeper level, Hashem is giving me this pain and it's so hard then to talk to him. Like, there's so much pain involved when we go through challenges. I wonder sometimes if just the act of connecting to the source of pain can be somehow life affirming and building. So, like, Hashem, I know it's coming from you. I'm just going to put this out there as this, like, tefillah to connect to you and show, like, how hopeless I am and you know, feeling like I can actually change this issue, and Hashem, you're the one in charge. But I just appreciated that vulnerability. Yeah. And I don't think she's alone. Now, practical, like, no more esoteric stuff. Practical tip. So we actually went to Israel for the first time in 18 years this past winter, and everyone was talking about this shy sitter store. If you know what this is, you know what I'm talking about. It's like
the Geula, where
Geula. It's like loaded with seminary girls and all of these beautiful pastel leather covered siddurim.
I wonder if that's where I got my siddur when I was there like 4 years ago.
You may.
Maybe.
And so, of course, you know, my daughter was telling me all about it, and I went, and I wasn't, when you go with kids, like, I don't know, I'm the type where I'm not thinking about myself, I'm thinking about everybody else. And I'm like, wait a minute, I want to get a siddur. So I just chose this like shimmery pink leather covered siddur, and I brought it home.
It sounds so pretty.
Yeah. And you don't have to go to Shai. You can go to your local Judaica store. Right. But just something I felt was like, this is my effort. I'm going to choose a new sitter. And if there's something very special, first of all, yes, about opening a worn sitter that has tear stains and that you've had for years.
100%,
100%. But having like something beautiful and new that you're davening from a beautiful new sitter, I think it's just like a little tip that makes it a little bit more exciting.
You know, it's interesting. I don't remember the name of the gadol right now, but I remember reading that there was a gadol who did regularly, I don't know if it was every year or what, but he regularly switched the sitter that he davened out of because he said that it helped his kavana, that he didn't just... Not that the scuttle was zoning out, right, but that's right, the word I'm going to use, you know, because when the words were slightly arranged differently, like maybe this font is a little bit bigger on this sitter, or maybe it's on this page instead, or it's on the left page instead of the right page.
Yeah.
And it helped him be more like aware, and it kind of helped his kavana because he had to pay more attention because things had been shifted around.
That's an awesome story.
Isn't that? I wish I could remember. If anyone knows who that's about, please email us.
What about you?
Okay, so I think for me, and this is like the theme of perfectionism, which runs very strongly through our podcast, is don't let perfect be the enemy of the good. You know, if I don't have like the ample time to daven all the things I want to daven, or if I know I'm super distracted, my kavana is probably going to be non-existent, that shouldn't be an excuse to still not try.
Oh, that's so good. Like, you know, you're really realistically only going to be able to do brachos and Shema, and like, okay, you couldn't do Shema and Hashem. Does that mean you shouldn't say brachos and Shema?
Exactly, right? Exactly. Do what you can do. And it doesn't have to be perfect, but like you can still do it.
I like that. That's helpful.
And then something else practically that I find helpful is like to actually put it in my calendar. Mm. Like
Not surprised? I know. I know. Davening. That's so true. It's on the to-do list.
If something is not in my calendar, right, it doesn't exist.
It's so true.
Not even to-do list. Like schedule, like in between this is when I'm going to daven.
I like that.
Even if it's not physically written down, like mentally, like I'm doing this thing and then I'm davening 15 minutes or whatever it is I have, and then I'm going to the next thing. Mm-hmm. And then I don't get distracted by throwing in a load of laundry or cleaning up those dishes that are still there or whatever. It's like, that is what I'm doing here.
You have to have a very good relationship with your calendar for that to actually be meaningful to
That's
you.
True.
Like it says it, which means I do it.
So all my type B friends and listeners, I'm sorry. I have nothing for you. But if you're type A, you might want to try this tip.
You are very, it's very aspirational. I love it. I love it. Okay, so another question. Rivki, let's think back to our relationship with tefillah when life felt a little less complicated. So maybe that's when we were single without children. Maybe that's when we were married without children. Maybe that's when, you know, you like reminisce the days when you just had one child. Maybe it's just married with one child. I don't know. The opportunities are endless. But how would you compare your relationship with davening then to how it is now?
Oh, so it's interesting because like I only really started davening when I was like 24 or 25. Mm-hmm. And I was like breaking my teeth over the Hebrew. And I was very stubborn. I was like, no, I'm going to daven in Hebrew. Like, I know there's Baruch Hashem, beautiful English translations. And a lot of people choose to do that because then they understand what they're saying. But I was like, no, I'm going to do this in Hebrew. I'm going to do it. And it was like very slow and painstaking. And like whenever, I remember whenever I got to Ozzy Asher, I would just like give up. I was like, okay. I can't do.
Yeah, that's too much now.
This is like, and I would see these Beis Yaakov girls like flying through it. And I was like, how?
They're not saying every word.
They just can't. No, I was just like, oh my gosh. But so, you know, I had a few years where I was able to, you know, daven without the distractions of running a household. But it was a very slow going, you know, and it was just kind of like, you know, when you're in like a new relationship with someone, everything's like a little bit awkward and you're a little bit guarded and you're like not 100% comfortable, but you want to get comfortable, but you're not there yet. So that was kind of how I would describe davening before I had a family. And now it's like interesting because I have less time, obviously. Mm-hmm. But now my relationship with my sitter is like more mature, I would say. Like I'm much more comfortable with the language. Mm-hmm. I have a better understanding of what I'm doing. My fluency is better. And so like when I'm able to like open up that sitter, it's like this like cozy feeling of like, oh, like meeting like a friend for a coffee that that you haven't seen in a while. Getting better about making the frequency more. But, you know, it's like a very comfortable feeling. And it's like, okay, now I'm gonna have this opportunity to connect in this way. And I'm so grateful that I have the time today to do it, I think. Mm. So that's how I would describe it.
Yeah, I definitely have a similar experience that like while my davening is definitely less frequent, like when I am, you know, I think about particularly like Shabbos candle lighting, like that's just an easy plug-in, you know what I mean? Like
it's so hard for me then.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't want to disclose too much information on this podcast. It is not a great ideal time, but my point is, I guess on some emotional level, like I'm just sort of showing up and I'm like ready. You know what I mean?
I hear that.
It just, to me, I feel like somehow this relationship has deepened through the trials and tribulations and blessings of life.
Yeah.
That it's just sort of easier to sort of plug in when I do
when you're there. Yeah.
But I do remember distinctly having this conversation when I was single, growing up in my home, like my childhood home, and speaking to a friend, and she's like, "Yeah, like I don't daven," and I remember being like scandalized, like, "What do you mean you don't daven?" Like it was so like. Such a huge part of my life. It was so normal. And then I'm like, oh, Alex. Like when I think back to my like very naive days, like Chas v'Shalom, we should judge anyone for not davening. You know what I mean?
Seriously.
But it evolves. It evolves.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Okay. So first let's tell you a little bit more about our guest, Sarah Blau. Sarah is a wife and mother, as well as an educator and a creative at heart. She is the extracurricular director at Beis Rivka High School in Crown Heights. It's so cool. And an artist, author, and public speaker. So when we say author, we mean like she's a prolific author with over 150 articles on thejewishwoman.org. She's authored 26 children's books and counting. I have some on my bookshelf. I was like, when I was looking through the books, I was like, oh, I have Sarah's books, like literally here. And she's also the author of two books for women, Close to You and Thought Streams, Meditations for Jewish Women. In all that she's doing, she aims to utilize creativity to impart authentic Torah and Hasidic values. Sarah has a series of fabulous articles on prayer on Chabad.org. We'll link to those in our show notes. And you can really get a feel for her approach from Tefillah, but even just skimming the titles. Her new book is based on a number of these pieces. You can follow her on Instagram at sarahblau_ch. That's sarahblau_ch. And then you can learn about all her upcoming events and her upcoming course that she is hoping to do in August about spiritual tools for negative emotions. Sounds awesome. Mm-hmm. So Sarah is chock full of insight and inspiration, and we hope that you gain from this interview as much as we did.
Sarah, welcome to DMC. We are so excited to schmooze with you today.
I'm so excited to DMC with you guys.
Okay, awesome. So we know that we wear a lot of hats, but you also wear a lot of hats. You're a teacher, an author, artist. You organize inspirational events. So beautiful. Introduce yourself to our listeners.
So hi, everybody. So I guess priority first, I Baruch Hashem, I'm a wife and a mother of four beautiful boys, and I'm very grateful. And my primary job is I work in a high school as the extracurricular director, like the Shabbatones and I guess the DMCs. And then I have a lot of hobbies on the side. Like I write children's books. I have 27th book coming out soon.
It's amazing.
And I write articles and books for women as well. So I have two books for women that are out already and one on the way. And really my whole life always like comes together because, you know, it's all about taking Torah concepts and figuring out how to bring it to various ages and audiences in this really down to earth practical way. So whether it's a child through a children's book or high school through a program and a workshop, or to women through a painting activity, you know, I do these art and learns or an article or a podcast, you know, figuring out how we can creatively internalize and apply Torah's wisdom in a way that any age and any stage can really receive it and really internalize it.
Beautiful.
It's so nice. And it is a skill set to be able to like distill different concepts, lofty concepts into things that are digestible for any, for variety of audiences. So we're here to talk about tefillah today. Let's get started by talking about what are some of the benefits of davening, whether it's formally or it's informally. What do we get out of davening?
Wow. So I really want to start off with talking about the manifestation of us not connecting in order to understand why it's so crucial and what the benefits are of connecting. And the manifestation of not connecting are all around us. Many of us relate to this. I know at least I could, and many of us could. There are times where I find myself maybe heavily addicted to my phone. I keep looking for an update. Many people struggle with all sorts of addictions or obsessions. We need, you know, whether it's shopping, whether it's food, whether it's technology, we see that there is this lack, there's this missing, there's this attachment and obsession with physicality and materialism. And the truth, it doesn't really come from such a bad place, because all of us have different soul powers. And it really comes from a misdirected soul power. And in the structure of our soul, one of the soul powers that we have is the midah of yesod, which is bonding. Our soul needs to bond. Our soul wants to bond. And we need to have this real connection with Hashem that really, really, really fills us spiritually. And so the manifestation of us not filling ourselves up and really feeling this bond and connection is we're just going to bond to something. But really, what's at the root of this thing that we're after, this high, this hit, this, you know, next accomplishment, this next, you know, the latest fad? It's like we're looking, we're searching. Let me eat something else. I'm bored. I'm uncomfortable. I'm not comfortable in my skin. I'm like restless and uncomfortable. And what's at the root is that our soul is uncomfortable. Mm. Our soul wants something more. And the solution to all these addictions and obsessions is to redirect our soul power. And, you know, when you ask about benefit, of course there's benefits, but this is even deeper than benefit. This is what is tefillah. Tefillah is our soul needs this really deep connection from Hashem. And it's actually very interesting because I once heard a psychologist saying that all the four feel-good hormones that we try to get to feel good, right? There's serotonin, there's dopamine, there's endorphins, there's oxytocin. These are all four feel-good hormones, right? And they all have, you know, similar but slightly different effects on us. Like dopamine is like that excitement we get when we're anticipating something. Like you're excited for a wedding. There's like, you know, you get that dopamine rush. And serotonin is like that feeling of fulfillment that you get when you feel good about something. And oxytocin is the love hormone, right? When you're nursing a baby, you're connecting, you're hugging. It's like, you just feel so good. And endorphins, of course, you know, the pain reliever, the exercise. And she was actually a firm religious psychologist. I'll give her credit, Miriam Yerushalmi. And she said that davening hits all those notes.
Interesting.
You get all those four hormones because the dopamine is looking forward to that time to connect to Hashem. And the serotonin is the meaning that we feel when we have this relationship. And the oxytocin is that connection. And the endorphins that feel good, you know, that you accomplish something. So what are the benefits? It's like, we can't afford to not. Our soul needs it. So we're going to feel benefits. Like, we're going to feel good if we're davening properly, right? We're going to get those spiritual highs, but it's not like, oh, let's replace it. Instead of getting like a high from shopping, get a high from davening. When you're looking for a physical high, what you're really searching for is that spiritual high.
Wow. Let's say it. That one again. That's the right. We always talk about sometimes when we're doing interviews, like, we need that on our fridge.
Exactly.
So when you're, let's say that one again, when you're looking for,
it's not just that we're, you know, we're looking to replace, like, oh, instead of giving into, or instead of trying to look for a physical high, look for a spiritual high. It's much deeper than that. It's that the real reason you're looking for a physical high is because really deep down your soul is searching for a spiritual high. And when you daven properly, and when you really fill your soul and feel that strong bond to Hashem, that's when you feel all those feel good oxytocin. You physically feel better. And in terms of benefit, I mean, we're all looking for more peace of mind. We all want that calmness, right? We all are doing so many things for our emotional and mental well-being. And we should be exercising, and we should be doing everything we need physically. But we can't forget the real core need for a Jew, which is to connect to Hashem through tefillah.
Interesting. I never thought about that. Like, even though you may not have answers at the end of a davening session, but there is this sort of peace of mind that kind of result just by communing, if you will. I know that sounds sort of cheesy, but like connecting with Hashem rather.
Yeah. Yeah. Even in 12-step recovery, prayer is like a very important piece.
Right. Right.
Because that's what the addict is really looking for. So in a certain way, we might, you know, it sounds very like addiction. It's all the same. We all at our core are craving this connection to Hashem.
You know what this reminds me of? Sometimes, you know how they say, like, when you're hungry, like, first just take a glass of water. Because sometimes we're actually thirsty.
Or bored.
Right. Right. So I'm wondering also here, like, we may have that physical desire, but maybe it's a deeper desire that's really a spiritual yearning and not a physical yearning.
I love it.
Yeah. Very, very interesting. Okay, so let's sort of direct this conversation now to the woman's unique relationship with tefillah. First of all, we have it in our Masorah with Chana. You know, like, Chana established davening, so this is really a special mitzvah for us. But also, just practically speaking, you know, our davening is always changing, it seems, based on the stages of our life. So we want to hear from you, you know, how can we successfully navigate that? And for those of us who maybe haven't been davening formally, you know, over the years, like, how can we pick up a connection after maybe we've had years of what we think is quote unquote disconnect because we haven't been engaging in formal tefillah?
So it's very interesting because on the one hand, we learn about davening from Chana. But on the other hand, I remember I had my first baby, Chaf Ches El, basically 2 days before Rosh Hashanah. And Rosh Hashanah came. I had just come home from the hospitals, like, you know, seconds before Yom Tov. And I had to figure out how to feed the baby. And I remember looking at my machzor and I was like, what is that? And I had to remind myself, like, the same Chana who taught us about davening, what did she do after she got what she davened for? She got Shmuel, and she didn't travel to Shilai. And she could have gained so much spiritually. She could have either hired a nanny. She could have, you know, hired the most comfortable coach. She could have gone with him. She could have figured it out. But she stayed home because that was what was better for Shmuel. So this same Chana teaches us that throughout life, yeah, there is a cycle of life. And when you're 2 days after having a baby, you won't be in shul dominating all the feelings from your master. And that's okay, because when we tune into the purpose of davening, which is connection to Hashem, then it becomes about, okay, what does Hashem want from me right now? What stage am I in right now? How could I connect? What are my obligations according to Torah right now? So, you know, that's, you know, what it was like for me. In terms of like how to get back into it, I think it is a journey. You know, recently my fourth child started going on the bus which means that I have all four kids on the bus in the morning. And I have this, you know, it was suddenly like a new opportunity for me to get into davening. And it was hard. And for me, that's actually why I started writing articles about davening, because learning about what davening really is really what helped me. And so, as long as I was thinking of saying these rote words, it was hard. But when I started learning the purpose of davening, the function of davening, the goal of davening, how it's all about my connection to Hashem, it's all about seeing through the lies of the physical world, which tells us, you know, that the world runs itself and that money and power and that's all that counts. And we acknowledge every single morning, Hashem is the one in charge. Hashem is the one who, you know, recreates every single second. That when I was learning about the purpose of davening, it's not just mumbling words. It became alive. Like I was able to like almost like visual it. Like it became exciting. And I also learned that malachim don't have the same opportunity. It's not as special to Hashem because they wait for Yidden to say Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish. They wait for us, because what happens is that angels are angels. Angels just believe in God and you know, there's nothing so great about them praising God. Hashem values people davening, because it's like, imagine you lose your phone and you don't have it for a week. Do you appreciate it more when you get it back?
Oh my gosh. If we survive the panic of not having it for a week, we survive.
If I don't have it, when there's a void, then when I have it, I appreciate it so much more. Yeah. So because for us, there's a natural void, there's a world out there. It tells us something. We don't feel connected to Hashem. When we sit down and prioritize davening, that brings a tremendous joy to Hashem. Hmm. And I started looking at davening not just as like, you know, like an ATM machine, you know, God, give me this, God, give me that. I started looking at it as a way to see the truth of the world. It's like, It's like seeing the world with the light off or seeing the world with the light on. And davening is about really seeing the world with the light on. And so that, you know, I just want to make sure I'm tying back to the question about how do you get into it. I think it's different for different people. I think for me, learning is what helped me. Mm-hmm. You know, for some people, easing back into davening might just look like remembering to just talk to Hashem. Hmm. Talk to Hashem and just, what do you need? Talking to him, you know, connecting to him and forming that connection. I think that all three of us here probably would have different ways that we would find it. So for me, it was learning. And I think that once I started getting back to it from an adult perspective, it was like, I saw the difference. Hmm. I saw the difference. I saw that on a day when I davened, I connected, work was easier. I was a calmer person. Like that calmness that I spoke about before was actual, like physical. It wasn't like theoretical. When I daven, I'm in a much better place. My mood is better. I'm connecting to the truth. Hmm. I'm connecting to what's real. So I think that it's that perspective that really made all the difference for me.
Mm. That sounds good. Give me some of that.
Yeah, no, I like it.
It's free.
Great. It's like you're plugging in, you know, like plugging in your battery. Like what I'm visualizing, like, you know, the plug in the wall here. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that you had said about how, like, you know, it depends on your stage and like, what does Hashem want from you now? And it's easy to be sympathetic to a mother who just gave birth and can't daven. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's much more challenging when there's that gray area of I was just talking about this topic with a few friends, and one of my friends had mentioned that, like, she had time in the morning, but then her daughter told her at the last minute that she needed something specific for some school project. And so then, okay, I guess that is also clear that she needed to do the thing for her daughter. Fine. But I feel like there's so many times where it's like, I could do this errand, which contributes to the functioning of my household, or I could take the 20 minutes to daven. And sometimes I feel like the Yitzhahara has like a very strong foothold in convincing us, like, or confusing us as to which one we should take. You know what I mean? Can you speak a little bit about like those gray areas and how we can kind of either strengthen ourselves to make the choice to really take the time to daven, or not to beat ourselves up if we struggle with like making that a priority as we like slowly get on our journey back to the point of prioritizing it? Does that make sense?
Yeah. So I want to comment about the end first, about beating ourselves up. So beating ourselves up is never appropriate. We think that, like, if we're going to guilt ourselves and shame ourselves, like, we're going to whip ourselves into shape. Actually, that's a trick of the Eight Sahara. Because I've never, ever, ever seen somebody shame themselves into improvement. In fact, it's actually the opposite. It's a vicious cycle. The Eight Sahara knows this. A woman that's depressed or beating up on herself will be less motivated to daven, not more. So I know you asked it almost like as a side, but, you know, I work with teenage girls. I hear it all the time. And when they realize that actually struggle is the point, like the point, this is what Hashem wants. Hashem values the struggle. There's no shame. Shame comes from ego. Like, you think you're better than everyone else. Like, you think you got it. Like, if you're a person like me and you, then you will struggle. And there's nothing to be ashamed of and beat up and beat yourself up. You can always try to grow. And that I'd love to talk about. But no beating ourselves up.
Fine.
Okay. That you know, people, Jewish mommy guilt and all that, it's a trick of the Yetzer Hara. Don't listen. You've got to be wiser. The Yetzer Hara knows exactly which buttons to press, and we have to be smarter than it. So I think often our hardest choices are not between right and wrong, but between right and right. Like, which one is the more right?
Yeah.
So the first thing I would say is, daven to Hashem for clarity about whether you should be davening. In other words, we're doing this for Him. We're doing this for Him. So if I'm doing it for Him, Hashem, show me some clarity. What do you want right now? And I think that, at least for me, when I take it off of what I want to what does Hashem want, I stop and I think and I connect. Usually I'm able to get some clarity, especially if it's not like, it's not an earth-shattering decision. It's this or this. It's very quick. A big decision, you could ask a mentor. A little decision, you know, your neshama knows. Your neshama has a certain intuition. And it knows what our role is. And we are guided by Tyra. So we do have certain obligations of what we can try to say. You know, one of my favorite things that exists is something called, like, the mommy sitter. It's an Israeli sitter that I've seen people use. If you have this amount of time, say this. This is an absolute obligation. And, you know, different communities probably have it different. So speak to your local Orthodox rabbi. But that way, do you have 5 minutes? Do you have 10 minutes? Do you have 30 minutes? Like, how much time do you actually have? Usually you can find the time if this becomes a priority. Again, if it's about Hashem, usually I could swing it. Maybe a little later, maybe a little earlier, maybe, you know. But this is not about me. It's about Hashem. Hmm. And you know what's so powerful is that sometimes we think in terms of ourselves in a spiritual way, like, oh, you know, what am I going to get more schar for? Or we might be trained to think about, like, the next world. And the truth is that the Mishnah says, yafa shah achas tshuva ma'isim tayvim, 1 hour of repentance, right, and good deeds is much greater than the whole Olam Haba. We're not, right? Schar and einesh, it exists, it all exists. But, like, actually we can reach Hashem's essence here. And that's what's so great about davening. We're having the Yafa Shah Achas here. This is so precious to Hashem. So when we're thinking about our own schar, it's still thinking about ourselves. What brings Hashem Nachas right now? And usually when I take it off myself and I put it on Hashem, the clarity comes. There's a certain intuition that our neshama often has.
I find this very helpful. I think, you know how they have this phrase that, like, the hardest part of exercising is getting off the couch?
Yes. For sure.
Right?
For
sure. So I say the hardest part of davening is taking the sitter out of the bookshelf, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, even, like, for people who, let's say, used to exercise and they know it feels so good and they love it, but they got out of routine, they got busy, they got lazy. Does it sound like someone I know? That's me. And then, but it's like, but you know, well, you love it and you know it feels good, so, like, why aren't you doing it? And I feel, and then you don't even want it. So that's my fear with davening. Like, you've been there, you have a relationship with Hashem, you used to daven, you loved it, but you're not doing it anymore. Do you even want it? Do you even want to prioritize getting yourself up off the couch and walking to the bookshelf and pulling it out of the bookshelf?
So that's why I want to take the shift away. You know, the question you asked in the beginning is, what's the benefit? There's a tremendous benefit, but ultimately it's not why we're doing it.
Right, right.
We're doing it for Hashem. In other words, you're right. If it's just about me, let me decide if I want my dopamine hit or not. But, you know, my son, he just turned 5. And sometimes in the morning, he wants to ride his bike and he doesn't want to. And I say, Tzema, Hashem is waiting for you to make a bracha on your tzitzis. And it works. Hashem is waiting for him. Like, you're right. Like, in a relationship, sometimes we're not in the mood of doing things, but like, you know, my husband needs to eat, my kids need me, right? So obviously Hashem is perfect and he's one, whether we do it or not, and Hashem is unlimited. But thinking about, we do give Hashem nachas. We are connecting to him. This whole world is for him. Everything is about him. The entire focus is totally different. You know, it's funny because we're talking about Chana and like we keep coming back to her, but that's another thing we learn from Chana. Why did Chana ask for a child? Right, Ellie thought she was drunk. She thought she was drunk on herself and on her ego. What did Chana say? Why? What am I going to do with Shmuel? Who am I giving it to?
Hashem. She gave Shmuel Hashem.
In other words, even her whole tefillah that she was asking for, like what seems like a personal need, it was all for you, for your honor. So, you know, so many of the things that we can learn from Chana, it's not just the technicality of how to daven, you know, the Shemoneh Esrei and quiet or whatever. It's her whole approach to davening. Hashem, whatever you want from me.
I like that. That's really incredible. Very helpful, actually.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about all the downtime that we have in our lives that we can't necessarily open a sitter during that downtime, like when you're online in the supermarket, for instance. But it is downtime that exists in our life. Like, we're very, very busy people. But, you know, when you're in carpool or at the bus stop or, like I said, in line at the supermarket or in waiting rooms for appointments, let's talk a little bit about, like, what we do with our minds in those bits of downtime, and why does that downtime matter?
So that's an excellent question. And it's really interesting because we're talking about davening, but davening is a very small percentage of our day. Most of our day is really navigating the mundane. Most of the day is really downtime, like you say. And the whole goal of davening is to inform the rest of our day. Because let's be honest, if I'm not filling my mind with something productive and meaningful, I'm either scrolling on my phone, or if I put away my phone and I'm thinking, my mind left to its own devices will maybe start thinking about something someone said that offended me yesterday, or feeling incompetent or not good enough. My mind will go in 100 directions. You know, something that I learned, I love it. It says that the pit that they threw Yosef into, it says, Habar Reik, the pit was empty, Ein Baymayim. There was no water in there, but there were other things in there, right? There were scorpions because it was rake. It was empty. When something is, when it's empty, it left room for scorpions. And you know, when I heard that, it really like clicked for me with our brains. Like if our brains are left empty, if we're not filling it with meaning and things that are going to inspire us, then we're going to have scorpions, you know, that sneaky Tzahara is going to come and really do us in. And so I think it's important. Some habits that I really try, like when I'm walking to work, I try to consciously think of a few things that I'm grateful for, you know, like the typical, it sounds so like cliche, but the truth is it's not cliche. Like Hashem wants us to love him. We say Shema, V'yahavtes Hashem Elokecha. How are we supposed to love Hashem? It sounds like very theoretical, very like spiritual, but it's really not, because if I think of the things that Hashem gave me that I love, right? If I'm grateful for my children and I love them, then I could automatically transfer that love to love of Hashem. I could love Hashem. So the interesting thing is we're used to thinking of kavana, of like intent and intention, as something you only do when you daven. But really kavana is something that is relevant 95% of the day. The rest of the day, you could be elevating mundane things. You could literally be making that 20-minute wait at the dentist, or that, you know, all those annoying wait times into something holy when you have kavana, when you're, you know, when you're thinking something holy, when you're inspired. Like davening is not meant to be confined to 5 minutes. It's really meant to spill into the rest of the day. And, you know, today everyone's very into self-care, right? Self-care, what do you do for self-care? Let me share tips of self-care. And the truth is that, you know, in line with everything we've been talking about till now, it's that Hashem gave us a mitzvah in the Torah. Take care of yourself, right? Hashem requires us to take care of ourselves. But it's, again, it's not self-care. Just like Chana wasn't asking for a child for herself. I'm taking care of myself for you, Hashem. Like I could take something mundane and make it holy by having the right kavanah and saying, Hashem, this is for you. I'm exercising for you, so I have a whole healthy body, so I could serve Hashem. Like, our whole mindset, when we daven and really commit to giving ourselves over to Hashem, our whole day changes. All those mundane downtimes that you're talking about, we could actually, like, make them into mitzvahs. We could actually, like, you know, instead of it being, I daven, that's my holy time, and the rest of my day is just physical, like, my whole day, you know, I'm cooking supper for Hashem. Why am I making a beautiful Shabbos table? Why am I shopping for my children? Like, the importance of filling our mind with this kavana, with this intention, is we're elevating our whole day. We're making our whole day holier. And yeah, ultimately we're going to be in a better place when we don't have scorpions, you know? Yeah. And it's a real thing. My relationship with other people is better on a day that I had, like, a good davening. I feel it. Because I feel like I'm lifted above it. Like, I'm not as petty.
You obviously have a very beautiful relationship with Hashem. You have to have a relationship with Hashem to have that in mind. Like, I'm doing this for Hashem because he's real.
So I would just say that it's important for that to grow. Mm-hmm. In other words, we think of, like, growth as, like, seminary or something. But yeah, your concept of Hashem should not stay the perception of a four-year-old. Like, you're supposed to learn about Hashem. You're supposed to evolve in your connection and your relationship and your understanding. In other words, it's not unique to one person. If you have a neshama, you have a connection to Hashem. You have a piece of Hashem inside of you. So it's not unique. It's something that is part of your core identity. You could reveal it, you could develop it, but we're you know, just like a snake outgrows its skin, we're updating everything. We're updating our Shaitel styles. We're updating, you know, our Apple iPhones. Like, update. It's time. I'm an adult. I'm not four anymore. Like, Hashem is not just Hashem is here, Hashem is there, or whatever song you sing. Hashem is real. And are you learning about Hashem? Are you developing, you know, whether it's your Muna, your Betachon, there's so many different things and so many different avenues. But yeah, if you're alive, then Hashem is real.
I love this. And I love how you said, like, you know, Hashem is within all of us. Like, Hashem is everywhere. And it's like this idea of, like, it's not something like, ugh, I'm so, like, I'm not there. And that's not my habit. Or I'm not thinking about it. It's like, no, it's within us all. It's like the fact that we learn the whole Torah in utero and then, like, we get tapped on the, you know, whatever it's called. And then we forget it, you know. So it's like, it's there. It's accessible to all of us. We have to do the hard work of getting to the point of accessing it and getting over that hump of being like, no, I do want to learn more about, like, what does Hashem mean to me now as, like, a 42-year-old woman, you know, as opposed to when I first learned about Hashem, you know, or, like, the developing and evolving understandings of it as I grow and as I mature and as my relationship with my life changes.
I want to jump in and say that's the name of my book. Oh. The name of one of my books for women is called Close to You.
I have
it. Because it's based on the Pasuk and the Torah. It's close to you. It's close to all of us.
I love this.
It's close to us to serve Hashem. The Fichol of Afalas, I say that we should be able to feel this passion and love for Hashem. It's literally accessible.
That's a great message. It's very empowering.
It is.
Because so often we're like, oh, I'm not holding. I'm not there.
Right. I'm not holding, exactly.
It's like, what are you talking about?
We're all holding.
So let's
Torah says, Kikara ve'ilacha, it is close to every single one of you. Ilacha individual. If we're, again, Hashem made us, he gave us our thoughts, he gave us our feelings, he knows our dark side, he knows all of our secrets, he knows all of our darkness, he knows all of our yitzhar, and he still says, it is precious to me. Remember that void? You person who feels so far, you coming and acknowledging me is why I created the world.
We're back with some more information for you about Town Appliance, the obvious choice. So installation, that's always the question when you order a new appliance. Who's going to be getting it in the door, unpacking it, and installing it in your kitchen? So Town Appliance offers various options on basic hookups, removing packaging materials, and the removal of freestanding appliances in certain areas. To check if these additional services are available in your area, simply enter your zip code at the product page. You can see their pricing options on the delivery and installation page of their website. And of course, you can always feel free to give Town Appliance a call and speak with one of their helpful customer service representatives. You'll find all that information in our show notes.
So labels are not just for camp clothing. Labeland has an amazing selection of colors, sizes, and materials of labels to meet your various labeling needs. Imagine how organized your stuff can be if you just use labels to indicate who the item belongs to and where it belongs. Glorious. The possibilities are endless. And the labels are beautiful. So check out their huge selection on Labeland.com. I know when we were sending my kids to camp, I sat down with them and we went to the Labeland website and we picked out which labels they wanted for their stuff.
So cute.
And there were so many choices. And they were like, this one or this one? I don't know. It's so hard to pick. They're so beautiful. For close to 20 years, Labeland has been creating labels that stick to your stuff for life. The labels are made with the toughest yet softest materials and are peel-proof, rip-proof, and laundry-safe. You'll find the link and the coupon code special for our DMC listeners in our show notes. And now back to our DMC with Sarah.
Okay, so we mentioned one book close to you. You also have another book on Tefillah, Thoughts, Dreams. How? What was the gap in terms of when you published those two books? Like, I'm like, wow, you wrote a book on Tefillah. Wow. Now, why did you write two?
I just wanted to clarify. I just want to clarify the different books. So the first book that I wrote is actually Thoughts, Dreams. I wrote it like 10 years ago. It just took a very long time for it to come out. So it's actually not specifically about davening. So the Thoughts, Dreams book are short, like, quote unquote, meditations. Basically, this was even before davening and before Close to You. I was home alone at night. My husband was working in yeshiva at night. And it was before I had a smartphone, because I don't know if this would have happened if I had a smartphone. I was home alone with a sleeping baby and bored with that itch, right? I needed something. And I learned, it was before I started specifically about davening. So it covers all different topics that have to do with women, like the three mitzvahs of a woman, Pirkei Avos, the Amim Tavim, but specifically for women. And each entry has like a thought stream at the end, like one line at the end that you can take away, like as a meditation, because like I was saying before, we need to be filling our minds, whether we have a lot of time or a little time. It's crucial for us to feed our brains brain food, mm-hmm. soul food, because otherwise our brains are on status quo and it just comes up with whatever animalistic tendencies the animal soul inside of us tends to come up with, mm-hmm. right? And we want to be able to fill it with godly soul thoughts and really, you know, be in sync and really feel empowered that our minds are not runaway trains, but that we're leading it, we're feeding it, we're directing it. So that's how Thought Streams came about. And then came the Close to You book. And now I'm working on the davening one, which is specifically focused on davening. But there's definitely a common thread between all the books, because all the books are about, you know, taking maybe lofty spiritual concepts and really zeroing in on how they're relevant to us as women, to our vida, to our stage, to our role, and how we're supposed to be passionate about our Judaism. In other words, we Jewish women need to be filling our hearts and our minds. We're the ones raising the next generation. We have these little ones. We have a feminine way to connect to Hashem, but that really was my goal, you know, inspiration for the busy Jewish woman. Mm. Like, here's little bits and.
Beautiful.
I love it.
Amazing.
Okay. So we had a whole conversation about rejection and disappointment earlier in WhatsApp voice notes, which is one of my favorite ways to communicate with people. So thank you for indulging that. But speaking of busy Jewish women, but I would love to talk about how we manage our disappointment when we're davening for something and the answer to our tefillah is no, or in general when we're facing any sort of like of those uncomfortable rejection situations.
Okay, so for me, I always find that the best answer to a question is when the question no longer feels like a question. And that's really what occurred to me when you asked me, like, what happens when you dive in for something and the answer is no. And I'm like, so interesting. I haven't thought about that in a while. And I realized why, because if my whole goal of davening is to connect to Hashem, then when I'm finished, I connect it to Hashem. In other words, if just like Chana davened for Shmuel, to give to Hashem. So what happens is, will I feel disappointed if I don't get the thing that I asked for? I would feel disappointed. I would feel normal human emotions, but it's not like I have a question of why I davened. I davened to connect to Hashem, to see that he's the one who recreates everything. And, you know, for me, more than just why did Hashem say no, is that if I don't get something I wanted, let's say, you know, getting rejected, plenty of books that have gotten rejected or different things like that. Or I feel like I want to be making a bigger impact or doing something, and I feel like I'm not where I want to be. And Baruch Hashem, I'm very busy with my family, and I'm not able to do my whole list of things I want to do. I remind myself, like, you know, I used to try to make myself feel better. Like, if I'm feeling like insignificant, I'm not doing enough. I used to say, yeah, but Starla, you're doing this and you're doing that and you're doing it. And it never felt better. Mm. And when I told myself, yeah, you are insignificant, because life is not about your little plans. You're here to serve Hashem. I felt better, not in a bad way insignificant. I felt like I'm doing exactly what Hashem wants, and this is on his timeline. I could never, you know, console myself by showing what I did do. The only thing that comforts me is I'm doing exactly what Hashem wants. And on a very personal level also, I remember years ago, I actually lost a pregnancy, like I had a stillborn, and it was very difficult, and it was a very challenging time in my life. And when I share what I'm about to say, you know, people don't understand it, but I hope I could explain it in a way that, like, in the context it was said. I remember my husband telling me, like, you know, this child that we just had is the easiest parenting we will ever do.
Hmm. Wow.
Because all we have to do is bring a neshama to conceive a child through 9 months of pregnancy. That is what Hashem wanted for this child. Hmm. So even though I see you shaking your head in sympathy, which I appreciate, really it's comforting. It's comforting that I'm doing exactly what Hashem wants. So I might have disappointment, I might have pain, but that deep inner sense of satisfaction, okay. Again, my whole purpose of davening was never for my own ego. Hmm. If it was about myself, what right do you have to stand in a mishkan, right? Eli's complaint to Hannah, what are you doing in davening for yourself? You have no right, so to speak. Right? Another time we see it, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, we're sitting in the holiest day of the year and we're asking for physical things. What is that? It's because Hashem wants us to ask for our needs. Levak Eshes Rachav. Hashem wants us to do it. So for me, when you asked that question, my first reaction was the change has been for me recognizing that, you know, this is not just, you know, for myself. This is for Hashem. The truth is there's disagreements between the Rambam and the Ramban about whether davening is counted as one of the 248 mitzvahs. But regardless of the different opinions, davening daily is not one of the 248 mitzvahs.
Interesting.
Davening daily is not one of the 248 mitzvahs because it's not a mitzvah. It enlivens all the other mitzvahs. It's like they compare it to the spinal cord. Spinal cord is not like one of your limbs. It's what holds up all your limbs. So when you start looking at davening as your spinal cord, as your injection for your whole day, as what's holding up all your Torah and your mitzvahs, I'm not just, back to the Hashem is not just an ATM machine. Hmm. But that's as far as the question, but I really want to touch upon rejection more. I just saw a post by Rabbi Yaakov Horowitz yesterday that he asked Dr. Tversky for advice when he started writing his first manuscript. And Dr. Tversky told him, don't give up if you get rejected. My first manuscript was rejected 37 times.
Hmm. Wow. Hmm. Wow.
So it's not just about we're here to do what Hashem wants. It's about also recognizing that, keep going, if you have an important mission, if you have an important goal, trust Hashem that you're doing it for him. So whatever the results are in his hands. And I think it's important also that, you know, a lot of us feel we want to make a difference in the world. We want to leave our mark. And it's important not to be lost in our own desire to make a difference, right? People sell that to you. You'll be great if you do this, you know, strive for greatness. And, you know, it's refocusing. I'm really not here for my own greatness. I'm not. I'm here for Hashem's greatness. Hmm. So every talent that he gave me, you know, they say your talent is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift to God.
Hmm. I know. I never heard that before.
I love that.
Okay, well then. What you do with the gifts he gave you is your gift to God. We're not here to create greatness ourselves. Actually, my latest children's book that just came out is this idea. It's called Oh How I Wish by Hachai. Hmm. Basically, a whole bunch of different kids that like to do different things. One likes to draw, one likes to sing, one likes to play. And then, you know, the little kid says, I wish I could do it all day, but there's something special I could do. I could use the drawing for a mitzvah, let's say, and color a Bikur Cholim card. Like, we're not here to brand ourselves as the most amazing people on planet Earth. We're here to brand Hashem as the most amazing. We're here to be Hashem's ambassadors, to show his truth, right? What's Mashiach when the whole world will recognize Hashem's oneness and Hashem's truth? That's our purpose. And that's really, you know, going back to davening, the goal of davening is to remind us of our purpose. Like, why are we really here? Why are we working our brains? You know, why are we working to pay the bills? Why are we just perpetuating these life cycles? We're not just biology. We are here for a very, very specific purpose. And Tyra tells us what that purpose is. So, yeah, I want to just add the humanistic piece also. Like, we have to go from, like, the ideal and technology that we're real. And that's okay. I'm not saying I don't feel disappointed. I feel very disappointed. But the question is, what am I going to tell myself when am I disappointed? And that I've learned. I've tried different conversations. I've learned that the only thing that's really reassuring is this truth. Because everything else feels like, you know, consolation prize. It's just like, no thanks. I don't need that. I really want to feel like I have a purpose and a mission here, that Hashem put me here. And that's the only way we could have an intact sense of self, you know, because if you reject me, then are you saying that I'm not good enough? I could fall apart if I'm not good enough for you. Mm-hmm. And rejection, by the way, doesn't have to just mean you rejected my pitch to a newspaper. Rejection could be, you know, it doesn't have to mean not getting to seminary. Rejection is anything that we, you know, we're not able to move forward in. And it's important, I think, for us as ladies also, that we don't tie our sense of self-worth with our accomplishments. Do you know what I mean? Like, we tend to do that. I know I fall into that trap. And I think part of focusing on Hashem and not myself means that my, like, value is inherent. It's that piece of Hashem, like you said before, that we have inside of us. Like, that's who I really am. I'm not anything external.
Is it too simplistic to think, like, okay, I daven for something, quote unquote, Hashem said no, didn't happen, and then have the idea that, like, okay, well, Hashem knows that is not what's best for me? Or is that like a, I'm just wondering that concept, if that's something that you've come across. Then, of course, practically, like, how do you actually really have ownership of that feeling, you know, that, like, this isn't what Hashem wanted for me because it's not what's the best thing for me or for my child or for my loved one.
Right. I have a hard time saying to myself in the negative, like, this is not what Hashem wanted. I'd much prefer to say Hashem will give me everything I need to succeed. I'd much prefer to say, like, you know, I have betachim that Hashem will give me my heart's desire. And after the fact, you know, acknowledge the disappointment and say, Hashem will give me everything I need to accomplish my mission on earth. And you know, we do have different challenges, and I actually went through a couple of pregnancy losses, and they were hard. And, you know, I think that the positive way of phrasing it was always more reassuring to me. You know, Hashem doesn't make mistakes. Right. There was a reason for this. There was a reason an neshama had to come. And I think that this applies to everything. Like you said, kids or health, or Hashem will give me everything I need to succeed to raise my children. Hashem, it's a trust. It's really a betachen trust piece. Like, Hashem will give my children everything that they need to succeed. And what does success mean? Success means doesn't mean making a lot of money or being famous. Success means succeeding in serving Hashem. And really deep down, we all just want meaning. You know, man search for meaning, Viktor Frankl. But, like, it's true. We want to feel that when we wake up in the morning, there's a reason we're here. And that's what Maida Ani is all about. Like, we thank Hashem, Maida Ani Lefanecha. Like, Hashem, like, this is who I really am. Who's my Ani? Who's thinking Hashem? Who's my essence, my neshama? And so I find, by the way, if I quote unquote meditate on Maida Ani, also my whole day is different. It's like, Hashem, thank you for giving me another day. I don't take it for granted. You know, we could also ask for kayach. Hashem, please give me the kayach and the energy to face whatever's coming my day. And it really frees us. And what I find for me, at least, is that, you know, it's so easy to feel like a hypocrite almost. Like, there's this super spiritual, idealistic part of me. And then there's, like, that, like, the real me, the messy, ugly side of human emotions and human experience. And really, davening is all about synthesizing the two. Like, we're taking, this is really the purpose for Hashem's creation. Hashem created this darkness so that we should yearn for light. Hashem created us, right? We're not meant to seclude ourselves and daven all day. Hashem knew and felt that we would take davening and our connection to him, and that would keep us so inspired throughout our day and really interacting with the world. We don't run away from the world. Our mitzvahs are very physical. Mm-hmm. So instead of it, of having shame over our humanness, we are able to face it and acknowledge it and not be scared of it. And I also want to say that that is the number one tip. We're always looking for tips how to get over Yetzer Hara. How do I work on my anger? And how do I work on this bad characteristic? And how do I get better? Davening is supposed to, by default, work on our animal soul.
Hmm. Very interesting.
It's not like if you have a headache, take a pill. It happens over time. It's a process, because if you're thinking about the words that you're saying, right? You say, Avas Eilam Av Tanu, Hashem loves us. If you're really thinking and you're really using your beautiful mind that Hashem gifted you with, not just to mumble words, but if you're really thinking, and honestly, I would say this, if you forgot all the translations of the tefillah, sit with the Hebrew English siddur. Look at what the Anshei Knesset Hagdolah put together these words for a reason. Read it. Read what you're saying. And it's almost like, you know, like a little kids like to eavesdrop what the adults are saying? Like eavesdrop. Get your animal soul to eavesdrop, because our neshama already loves Hashem. Mm-hmm. Our neshama already like just is like all inspired by Rufnias. It's our animal soul that we're working with. And they're supposed to be roommates inside of us, so to speak. We have this neshama and we have this animalistic side to us, and we're supposed to get our animal soul on board. And that's why I actually mentioned about the hormones going back to the beginning, because it's good to get our animal soul to realize this is good for it. That's what we're trying to get it to realize. Yiddishkeit's good for it. Mm-mm. Not a contradiction. Serving Hashem is the, you know, did you hear Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson said this in one of his podcasts? He was saying about, there's a pasuk that says, Tamu re'u ki taif havaya, taste and you will see that Hashem is good. Hmm. So if it's not tasting good for you, you don't have the real thing, because God is good.
Hmm. Wow.
Your relationship with Hashem should be good. It should be peaceful and juicy and whatever you need out of a relationship with Hashem. Like, it should be feel good for you, for your godly soul, obviously, which for sure wants it, but for your animal soul, like it should add that enrichment to your life, that your animal soul should understand that it's for its own best interest to serve Hashem. That's what it's born for. That's what it's here for. Like, we're here to kind of, you know, it's funny because there's a lot of therapeutic models and modalities that use parts, but really, you know, in Lahavdil, again, Torah sources, we know about parts. We know about Yetzer Hara and Yetzer Tov. There are conflicting parts to us. And the goal is to use our minds and hearts to get them on board, right? To be smarter than the Yetzer Hara, to get the animal soul to want to appreciate Hashem. Like, that's what we're here to do. We're here to navigate this. Like, there's one opinion, there's another opinion, and we're the ones, I'm the one who can use the brain Hashem gave me to really navigate any challenge that comes in my day. And any emotion, any difficult emotion, we're not afraid of it. We're not afraid of it. And we also see through it. Like, we don't take it so seriously. That's how I find the, like, I'm like, oh, okay, fine. Like, let me say it like this. Sometimes we make the emotion worth by feeling like getting worked up about it. You know, like I heard one Rabbi Sheshtaub said, like, just because you have depression doesn't mean you have to be depressed over the fact that you're depressed. But it was so smart. Like, We give more attention than necessary to our negative emotion. Okay. And I've tried that on myself. Okay. And so, like, we want to move the shift to creating the positive emotions, putting emphasis on davening, putting emphasis on developing our relationship with Hashem, not as a tit for tat, but it will overall get us, you know, center us and get us into a much better place.
Sarah, you are fabulous. You have so many insights. I've learned so much from you.
This has been great.
Do you have any favorite books? You've mentioned a number of speakers, but for people who want to delve more into the topic of tefillah, and besides reading the Siddur, I mean, that's the best book to read. But do you have any other books or other speakers you recommend for listeners if they want to continue to explore tefillah?
So here's what I'd recommend. I'd love to say that I could just drop you five names, but I really feel like that would be spoiling it. I really recommend walking into your local Judaica World or Eichler's or any Judaica store and go through it like a library, because I know what my favorite, you know, Svarim are, but there's 12 Shvatim, which means there's 12 paths in Yiddishkeit. So Hashem did create us. Some people are more attracted to more spiritual things, and some people are more attracted to more down-to-earth things. And Hashem made our different, you know, neshama sources to to get attracted to different things. And the same with like online classes, find your teachers. I love listening to Rabbi Jacobson and Rabbi Taub. You can find them on yeshiva.net or Soulworths, but find the teachers that are filling your hearts and mind, that are making your Yiddishkeit real, and find the books that will make your davening feel real. It might be an English book, an adaptation. It might be a sefer. For me, it was taking a Hebrew sefer and translating it into English that really, really, you know, is doing it for me. Most of my books, like my Close to You is also based on a Hebrew sefer, and Thought Streams, like for me, really like using muscle to learn it, like helps me remember it more, like, mm-hmm. like as if, you know, like I'm working it. I'm not just like reading it.
I love this girl.
So,
I love her.
So that's what I would say. Amazing. Go to your store. Online is not the same. Go to the book, feel it, touch it, smell the print, find something that jumps out at you. And really ultimately like make davening your own, like you're having your own relationship with Hashem. It's so private. Like sometimes I feel uncomfortable talking about it because I'm like, this is between me and Hashem. Why am I even going on a podcast talking about something so private?
Wow. I'm really inspired by you.
I know. I'm going to go daven mincha after this. This has been just phenomenal. I so appreciate you taking the time and sharing just your passion and your wisdom and your essence with us on this podcast. Thank you so much. I'm sure our listeners are going to tremendously benefit, and wishing you continued hatzlacha, and can't wait for your book on tefillah to come out.
Thank you. And thanks for hosting this. It feels such a need in the Jewish world. Like, you know, you're cooking, you're this, you need something in your ear pod, something in your ears, something, you know, and this is what we spoke about before, filling yourself in downtime with really good content. So you guys are doing great. Thank you.
Thanks
for having me.
Thanks.
All right. So okay. Follow up. Okay. Well, I love this lady. I'm very open about
effusive. It's great.
Yeah. Okay. Number one, this is such a cool concept, this misdirected soul power, and how our soul, we're always searching, and often, you know, we're looking and we think we're looking for something physical, but really we're looking for that spiritual high because our soul just wants to connect and bond. I thought that was such a beautiful idea.
Yes.
I like what Star was talking about, that one of the benefits of davening, and I just never thought about it, it's just like a menuchas nefesh, like a peace of mind that can just be literally a physical, mental result of the act of prayer. And I want to be more mindful of that and think about that, how I'm feeling after davening.
Yeah, the days when we do versus the days that we don't.
Yeah. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
A beautiful insight she shared also is that, like, when you're really tuned in to Hashem and you're connected, you understand and you have a knowledge of what Hashem wants from you at that very moment.
Yeah. Right? That's really profound.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You're like, she talks a lot about the guilt and that and that. She's like, wait, no. But like, if you are really, really tuned in, you're going to feel confident that like, I'm doing everything I'm meant to be doing right now.
Exactly.
And finally, I just love her emphasis on Hashem, that the point of davening is not to get what you want. The point of davening is to connect to Hashem. And I don't know, that was just, you know, we hear it in different iterations. The way she said it felt refreshing to me. So I appreciated that.
You know, and I feel like it's interesting. Like, we do hear a lot of the same messages over and over again, but I feel like they hit us differently at different points.
That's true, too.
You know, and it's like, I don't know. I always could use a refresher on, I don't know, literally everything.
And the medium also, people say it, people who, she as who she is as a person, hit it for me in a different way, too.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Absolutely. There's something that she said that reminded me of actually of something Ruchi Kovel had said, which is basically like Judaism should feel good.
Oh, yeah.
And if it doesn't feel good, then you're not doing it right.
Oh, yeah. That was great. Yeah.
You know, and so don't beat yourself up about that. Just as a reminder, guilt and shame don't actually motivate anyone. Okay.
Right.
And then I also loved how she brought up the fact that like kavana is not just for when we're davening formally, but kavana is really for the whole day.
Oh, yeah. That was,
you know,
also good.
That like we really can be thinking the whole day about like, are we like, what does Hashem want for me now, you know, and to really not let davening be like just relegated to when we are speaking directly to Hashem from a sitter, but it could be when we're in the waiting room of the dentist. I love that. Mm-hmm. And of davening as like a spiritual, like a, as the spinal cord to the rest of everything else that we're doing. Mm. And it, will, it really can provide that, that life and that backbone, so to speak, to the rest of our actions and decisions and thoughts and feelings. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And finally, when she was talking about how she reframes like those difficult moments and those rejections and the painful things that we go through in our life as the positive thought of Hashem is giving me everything I need for success. Mm. First of all, it's such a beautiful reframe. And one of the things that I thought about was when she had said, what does it mean, success? What does success mean? And I'm sure we're all familiar with like there's that drawing of we think success is a straight line. But success is really like a jumble of like all sorts of like messy and confusing and like, you know, obscured, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like it's not clean and it's not linear. And success doesn't mean without pain. It doesn't mean without struggle. It doesn't mean without going through challenges and negative feelings, you know. So I think that that was also something that I found very profound. Mm-hmm. Is that Hashem is giving us what we need for success, but success doesn't mean it's like smooth sailing and easy. Mm-hmm. But it still means success.
Yes.
Anyways, okay.
All right, here's this episode's takeaway. What is one thing you can do to make davening more of a priority in your everyday life? Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be a commitment to davening more, and can be a mindset reframe, a physical or mental reminder, a mantra you're repeating to yourself. Do one thing that indicates to yourself that communicating with Hashem and investing in that relationship is important to you during your day.
A final thank you to Town Appliance for bringing this season of DMC to you. We have so many things we need to get right when purchasing a major home appliance. It's very potentially stressful. Mm-hmm. The Town Appliance understands our needs from shoppers and is ready to help. The next time you're in the market for a home appliance, call Town Appliance. Visit their showroom if you're in Cedarhurst, Lakewood, or Baltimore. And, of course, check out their website. It is so easy and convenient. Their knowledgeable customer support team is also available just a phone call away to answer any of your questions and provide guidance when you're trying to find everything you're looking for in your next home appliance. We've got all that information for you in our show notes, so go check it out.
Finally, thank you to Labelland for being our episode sponsor again for DMC. Summertime is a perfect opportunity to get your stuff organized, whether it's because you've got kids going to camp, you're taking a trip, or you're tackling that home organization project. Mm. Labeland offers labels in a variety of colors, styles, and sizes to meet your label sticking needs. Just check out their website, labelland.com, and you'll get ideas about all the possibilities to make your life more organized with labels. And if you've got a child going to camp, sleepaway, or day camp, because they also lose stuff in day camp.
100% they do.
Second half, it's definitely not too late to put in an order. Orders ship next business day, so visit our show notes for a coupon code just for DMC listeners. It expires July 26th, so don't wait, as well as a link to get your Labelland order started.
Thanks for staying until the very end. Our next DMC is during the 3 weeks, and we want to be in the right frame of mind, so we are having Yocheved Davidowitz on, host of a Deeper Conversation podcast, to get real about Bein Adon L'Chaveiro. We hope you can join us.
And if you're a new listener, thanks for giving DMC a try. Please subscribe, rate, and review DMC on whatever platform you're listening to this episode now. We do read all of our reviews, and they mean so much to us. Reviews help us grow and improve and give us chizik to keep putting out this podcast for you. Also, please feel free to reach out. You can email us at dmcthepodcast@gmail.com or message us on Facebook or Instagram. See you next episode.